Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. A gigantic comeback win last night for the Nashville Predators. And to help us talk about that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring in our man, Preds TV analyst, Terry Criss. Crispy, what's going on, my man? How we doing?
Good morning, gentlemen. Well, my coffee's tasting a little better today. Tell you that much. I'm my second cup, and I'm not sure who was playing the piano last night when they lifted it off the shoulders of the Nashville Predators hockey players, but it sure sounded good.
It did sound good, and Crispy, it was amazing. I mean, you're down 5-3 heading into that third period. A lot of things going poorly for you in that game. You find a way to battle back and tie it up, and then Forsberg wins it in overtime. I'm a firm believer that not all wins in the NHL are created equally. And some just mean more than others. What can a win like that, in the fashion the Predators did it, do for this team moving forward?
Probably the biggest thing, they're professionals. And they know one game doesn't make a season. They know one game isn't the all to end all. But the one game against a team like the Florida Panthers, who are a good team, they've come in here 5-0-1, hadn't lost in regulation, still haven't, by the way, and have got depth that they got in young guys. And then to win it in the fashion that they did, they worked hard, went into a bit of a lull, a tailspin, came roaring back at the end, and then stayed with it. And even though we sort of keep shooting themselves in the foot with those dumb, bad penalties they're taking, last night was a night that they dug in, and the guns came to work, the cannons came to fire at both teams, and Forsberg and Duchesne last night, especially Forsberg, was not to be denied.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, Crispy. I mean, obviously, they're still giving up, what, 37%, I think, on opponents'
exactly.
Power plays. There's still issues.
Yes.
But this is, like you mentioned, Duchesne, I mean, a guy who's, I think, been playing well and hasn't been rewarded, and he gets rewarded at as clutch a moment as you can have. So do you buy into the idea, you know, when you were coaching, if your team got a win like this, maybe struggling a little bit, do you buy into the idea that this can – be a turning point or can be something that vaults a team?
Matt, I can tell you one thing. When I was coaching, I sure bought into it. As a player, you know what, you got to go back out and work. But as a coach, when you're looking for anything to hang your helmets on, anything to give you a spark to tell your team that you keep saying it's going to turn, it's going to come, if we keep working away at it, it'll all sort out itself and we'll be okay. This is the type of game you can walk in this morning into your dressing room and you can show them physically on and film or whatnot, here's what it takes to win. Here's the penalties you don't take. We've talked about it. Here's how you end a game. Here's how you get the puck to the net. Here's how you keep whacking at it until it goes in. So as a coach, yes. As players, they've got to be relieved, especially Matthew Shane, who's had 100 scoring chances and has worked as hard as he has, finally got rewarded. And Philip Forsberg and Yossi and Ekholm and the boys taking control of the engine last night and making it run.
Preds TV analyst Terry Crisp on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And Crispy, you brought up Philip Forsberg. Look, we've seen the talent for a long time, obviously, and he's been a very, very good player for the Predators. He looks different to me this year in terms of the way he's playing all over the ice, the 200-foot game. What have you seen out of Forsberg so far this year? Obviously, culminating last night in a 5-point performance.
You know what? I don't want this taken wrong or misconstrued, but I see affirmative leadership coming from, I think he's matured over this last summer. He's matured over what he's seen happen to our team last year and it didn't happen. And you know, they were maligned for it. Forsberg is one of the targets that had to produce and do what he has to do to be a leader. But I think more so now, off the ice as well as on the ice. If you listen to all of Philip Forsberg's interviews now, he talks like a leader. He talks the truth and is very blunt about his game, the team's game, what guys have to do, doesn't name them. I like what I hear from Philip Forsberg, and I like even more what I see out on the ice this year. And I've always said all along that I don't think that Philip Forsberg, I don't know how to say this, I don't think he had realized what a leader he could be. Like, we kept hearing about Shea Weber, and we kept hearing about Yossi, and we kept hearing about other guys. And I'm not sure if he step back, being in Forsberg, and said, you know what? I'm in that category. I'm as good as these guys. I'm in that elite division when I want to play my game and do it. And I think right now, Philip Forsberg has realized that he is a leader.
Crispy, the discussions of goalies, it can always be tough because, you know, it's like, is a guy struggling or is he getting hung out to dry over and over again? I think you could look at UC Saros last night and say, boy, there was some tough moments in front of him, you know, that led to some of those goals. But Pekarinen comes in, really stabilizes things, has a great third period. Do you think that at this point maybe it's time to give Pekka a little bit more chances in goal? Do you think he's playing a little bit better than Saros?
Yeah, I'm not going to second-guess the coaching staff. I don't second-guess the armchair expert. But I've always been a Pekarinen fan, and I'm still a Pekarinen fan. And I look back over the history of Pekarinen, the games that he's won, the things that he's done for this hockey club. And, yes, I think that he is still the key cog in this outfit. And I can tell you right now, as a coach, yeah, I understand running Saros. And last year in the playoffs, et cetera, you're looking for a goalie. Pekka's getting a little long or two, but Pekka's not finished. And I feel comfortable as putting my coaching hat on saying, you know what, yeah, I would not be afraid to run Pekarinen in the next bunch of games in a row if it stayed the way it is. So we know he's capable of it. But it's a nice feeling to know that also when the need arises, you can throw Saros in and the team feels, you know what, yeah, the same as when we were in front of Pekarinen, we can win this game with him in our net. That's a pretty good feeling for players and coaches to have.
Crispy, the team has talked about special teams needing to be better and the power play, a couple of huge goals last night. What did you notice on the power play last night from the Predators? Why was it different? Why were they able to convert on a more consistent basis?
We were snapping a puck around. We were moving it. We weren't doing that stupid grab the puck and one guy holds it for 45 seconds along the sideboard, then another guy holds it in the corner for 10 seconds, and the clock's running down. They were snapping the puck around. They were moving it. It was going from ba-ding, 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 and making Florida guys chase it, get to it, and then the guys were pulling the trigger. Now, there was a lot of bodies because Florida plays the old Ken Hitchcock. He believes in six goalies out there, the goalie and the other five guys, all jammed into the crease and try and put the puck through it. That's what Florida was doing. We were getting the puck through. We were getting it only because we were shooting quicker. And we weren't holding on to it as long, making our passes and making our shots. And I guess what I'm trying to say is we sharpened up and started to move the puck rather than hold on to it. And the longer you hold it as a player, the more they can get set up and the less chance you have of getting your shot through or making a good pass. Last night, our guys were sharp on it. And when they got the opening, they took the shot. And that's what I've been screaming all along. All your great goal scorers and your good goal scorers will tell you this. Every goal scorer, good goal scorer, has to be greedy. And by that I mean their goal scorers. If they have the shot, take it. Don't feel bad that you didn't pass it to your buddy on a two-on-one when a defenseman was sliding to block it. Pull a trigger on it. That's what I want to see. You're a good goal scorer, be greedy. Take the shot.
Okay, so what are you screaming when you watch the Preds on the penalty kill? And we can bleep you if needed.
Well, you know what?
Watch it.
The funny part about I know it's a family show. My job is in the NHL. I made a living killing penalties and playing defensive hockey, so it's not glorious. But the one thing you do learn is that when you're a penalty killer, when you go over the boards, the first thing you look at is your partner. You say, they're not scoring. We're going to give our team a boost. These guys are not scoring, and you tell the two defensemen going with you, hey, you two, these guys don't get standing in front of our net. These guys don't get a free walk down the wing, off the wing, into our net. They pay a price no matter where they are. And I'm a firm believer in attacking the puck. And I watch Dallas do it. I watch Tampa do it. And I watch Florida do it. Their penalty killers don't stand still. They're coming. They're moving. When the puck moves, they're going at it. They don't give you a chance to make a good pass. That's what I'd like to see from our penalty killers is be aggressive. Aggressive in a system. And I always relate back to when I was with Fred Shiro, the Russians came over to play us. And the Russians had a great penalty killing system that they worked. But the key to it was the Russians were all good skaters. and they're all fast off the mark, and they're all fast when they made their move to get back to where they should have been again. So I guess, boil it down, be aggressive. Be aggressive. Be in their face. Don't give them a chance to do what they want to do.
Preds TV analyst Terry Crisp has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. Joe,
you got one more thing for you? Well, before you go, what do you think of Dan Fouts as a quarterback, Crisp?
You know, hey, guys, let's be honest. I love football. Neil O'Donnell is my mentor because every time there's a football game, I go and sit with him and I drive him crazy with a thousand questions. But like Pete Weber will tell you, when I first came here and sat down beside him and we talked football, and I said to him, Pete, what is SEC? So that tells you what I know about football, but I love it.
Terry Crisp, the legend, as always, has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Show. Crispy, thanks for joining us, my man. We appreciate it.
Anytime, fellas. Stay safe, eh, out there.
Absolutely. Terry Crisp, one of the best in the business. And when we come back, Joe Rexroad's been one of the best in the business at Preds Pick the Click, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. And it's that time of the day for Preds Pick the Click. Be the first caller at 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025, for your opportunity to guess the goal scorer for the game tonight for the Predators against the Florida Panthers. That's next. This is Robbie and Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.